Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey everybody, I'm Rima.
And I'm Jason.
And this is Strange Indeed Bake Off Edition, a podcast dedicated to the Great British Baking Show.
This week we're covering Collection 8, Episode 5, Pastry Week.
Pastries. Oh my gosh. I love pastry week.
I was drooling harder this week than any other so far, even more than chocolate.
Even more than chocolate?
Yeah, I don't know. I was probably really hungry and this diet is killing me. But I was like watching those pasties and just like, man, I wish I could reach through my iPad and grab one of those right now. They look so good.
They did.
Yeah,
I think I guessed your favorite one too, but we'll get into that.
We'll see. I love. There were a couple in contention, but yeah, I just love pastries, and it's really fun on this show to learn more about how pastries made, and it's just they definitely did better this week than they did last week too. So that was part of it. There was a bunch of sad brownies last time.
Man, who knew brownies were going to be so difficult? But yeah, definitely. I mean, there were a few folks that kind of fell apart in the showstopper and stuff. But yeah, pretty good week. And pastry can be tough. I mean,
even the ones
really
that fell apart, I think they tasted good, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think a lot of it is so much with the time. You know, they just don't have the time. And if something falls apart, like if it fails, you know, if it's not a good bake or they don't have enough time to get it in the oven.
That's a lot of it.
You know, and then if something's still hot, and you can't decorate it.
They give them not enough time. And then Paul and Prue come out and look at them as if they were at a restaurant or something. And
they're like,
it's underbaked. And I'm like, yeah, you gave them half an hour.
They should have had like 4 hours. You gave them like 2.5.
It's pretty funny. I would be pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
But they never say that. You didn't give us enough time.
Yeah. Well, that's why I shouldn't be on a show like that, because that probably would have been me and my big mouth have been like, well, duh, it's underbaked because...
That'd be hilarious.
Give me
can I have another half hour? It'll be perfect for you.
Yeah. No kidding. If I have all damn day, it'll be perfect. No.
So, all right. So, yeah, pasties. Have you ever had one of those?
No. But, well, do Hot Pockets count?
Maybe.
No, I don't know. Probably not.
I can't remember, but it was probably some, maybe it was like a Harry Potter. I think it might have been a Harry Potter World, and they had this pasty place because it's British, you know, Harry Potter. And then I went to England and I had a bunch of them, and they're just good. You know, it's pastries filled with meat and vegetables. It's really good.
They look yummy.
Yeah.
There were a lot of them that I would have definitely tried. And I would love to try to make one, but at the moment, maybe when I'm in the mood, I'll try it. But yeah. I can be a little lazy. And you got to, that took some work. That was a couple of hours work.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm willing to put the time in.
You know, those are old, I think. They've been around for centuries. And I think, you know, they're staple foods. Like, I remember in one of the early British Bake Offs, one of the ones that didn't make it over here, but they used to really go into detail about these. And I think it was just like, you know, they could just whip those suckers up quick because they made, that's all they made. But if you don't, if you're not in the habit of it. But anyways, I think I remember when I first saw one of these places that sold them at the Harry Potter thing, I was like, pasties? That's weird because here a pasty, which is spelled the same way as pasty, are those little nipple cover thingies that the strippers wear.
Yeah. Nipple pasties so I'm told. Is what yeah, I yeah. think. Is, oh, you're told you don't know.
Yeah.
You
that's just, what I that's heard.
What you hear. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, that's weird. But yeah, then someone had to, I think I ordered a pasty and they're like, it's pasties. So anyway, yeah, I love these. Yeah, and they kind of remind me of the Hostess fruit pies that we have here, but they're more, I think they're usually savory, if not always.
Yeah, they look really good, and I definitely want to make one.
That'd be awesome. I guess you can use, they can use any pastry. They used short crust puff or rough puff. Mm-hmm. And so I had forgotten what those are, but short crust is the simplest and most common, and it's just flour, fat, butter, salt mixed together. It's more crumbly. Puff is like the standard where they lay it all out and they put a big slab of butter and then they fold it. So there's many layers that expand and puff when baked. And I didn't ever understand why it was called that, but now I kind of do. And then rough puff is they break the big slab of butter into smaller pieces and kind of mix it in and then fold it up. And I guess that's easier to make and has less steps. And I don't know if qualitatively how it's different, but I would imagine it might not quite be as good if it's easier, but I don't know.
Yeah, but it looks good.
They all look good.
Yeah, they all look really good.
So who did you... which one stood out?
What stood out? So at least as far as like what appealed to me the most, as far as like taste, and I'm going just by the ingredients, not exactly like the final result, how they turned out. Yeah. But Lottie's was definitely appealing to me, with like the mashed potatoes and the sausages and had the gravy. I mean that looked or sounded at least amazing. It did. To me,
and Prue thought it was going to be stodgy, which is heavy or soggy. But I love that when they tried it, they're like, "Oh, remember when I said that wouldn't work? I was wrong." That was pretty cool.
I know she went out on that one. She got lucky.
Yeah, and that does sound good. It sounds very American, almost, or at least something not very adventurous, but so welcoming and comforting and good, you know, mashed potatoes and sausage. I would love that.
It sounds like something that would be, at least in my area, because it's getting a little cooler here, you know, really kind of getting some of that fall weather. It sounds like a really yummy savory fall. Another one that sounded really good was Linda's chicken with potato. It looked really good. I know it didn't turn out the way that she wanted it to, but that appealed to me, at least as far as the taste. The least favorite that I liked
Linda had the like samosa ones.
I thought she had some. They said that there was like a potato.
It's spiced chicken. Yeah, you're right. And diced potato. And have you ever had samosas?
No.
It was kind of funny because samosas are an Indian dish that's fried or baked pastry with a savory filling like spiced potatoes, onions, peas, cheese, beef, or other meats or lentils inside. So it's very similar to a pasty, but they're not crimped like that, and they're not as buttery, I think. But when she said they're going to be in the shape of a samosa, well, it kind of just made them samosas.
And
Paul even said that. He goes, basically, it's a samosa. And I mean,
he was very critical of that. Yeah.
Yeah. They want it. And Prue, too. They weren't crimped because that was, she goes, did you read the instructions, basically? But I love these. Indian's my favorite cuisine, and samosa's the first Indian food I ever had. It's basically like a street food, like a snack over there. But it's Goan-inspired Goa, and Goa is where that Indian dish I mentioned a few episodes, the one thing that I'm really proud that I can make, chicken vindaloo, comes from, and all of this stuff. I mean, the spices make a big difference. You know, it gives it that Indian flavor, so it's not just chicken and potatoes like you might think. It's more... flavorful
and yeah,
spicy, yeah, but it did look good. Like, that was pretty close to going to be my favorite, but the other Indian one ended up being the one I most wanted.
Yeah, that's the one that I picked as your fave, was Mark's Irish Mark's curry, and Indian.
Before we get off Linda's, I mean, they looked good, and you know, they were both, Paul and Prue were critical that she didn't crimp them, but they did say her flavors were fantastic. So, yes. I think that, you know, Linda got voted out this week, or she got judged out or whatever. But I think, as they were saying when they were talking about it with Matt and Noel, it was close, you know, like nobody was the clear loser. I don't think even Linda's thing that fell apart at the end, it still tasted good. So,
right. Yeah. Anyway. Rough week for a couple of them there.
Yeah. What was the next one you were going to mention?
Oh, well, I was just talking about the one that was like one of your favorites, the Indian inspired. So those were like some of my favorites, the ones that I would probably try all of them, but those were the ones that sounded most appealing to me. But what were some of yours?
Yeah, I mean, the one I would want the most is Mark L's Alu Gobi and Paneer Pasties Spiced Short Crust. That just won me over right there. Roasted cauliflower. I mean, that's what Alu Gobi is. Alu's potato and Gobi's cauliflower, and you get Indian spices in there. And yeah, I just love everything about that one. So that was that was probably, and it turned out really well too. So that would probably be my favorite. I really thought that Peter's looked really cool, the fish.
Yes, I thought, as far as the, at least the look, his turned out the best. Very clever, his little fish
he's
design.
So good at making it look good. And he's pretty good at the taste too. And they call this a kedgeree pasty. I guess a kedgeree is a dish that had a lot of those ingredients, haddock, rice, and like he had a hard-boiled egg in there, curry powder. I mean, I would love to eat that too. I think it looked great. I like fish if it's done well, and it looked good. And Prue said it was a bit dry, so that's, I guess there was his and somebody else's that had rice in it, and it seemed like that kind of soaked
Dave's.
Up the moisture.
Yeah, Dave's was a little dry because he had jasmine rice.
And Dave's interesting because he's got Thai he likes and Mexican stuff. And he had that... that sweet chili. He's had that before. Chilies.
Yes. Yeah, and he has.
I thought it was a bit of a shame that it didn't even look like he tried the chili sauce. And Dave should have said, hey, try it with the chili sauce, because Paul was saying it was too dry. And then Prue tried it with the sauce and said, oh, that made a difference. And I'm like, give Paul some of that too.
I know. I was like, well, why didn't Paul try that? Because that was kind of the whole point is, I mean, maybe that's why he had it a little bit dry, so it would go well with the chili sauce.
Dave's too shy. He's like, okay, sorry.
I think he was probably feeling like, oh, you know, when these getting judgy and I mean, like, it's a little dry.
I would have done the same thing, and then I would have been kicking myself later for not, oh, wait, I didn't even make him try the sauce.
Yeah, absolutely. I would too. Yeah, it's deflating in those moments because you're so hopeful. And I mean, they looked really nice. He had a cute little chili design on the top of them. So they had a good design and stuff. And I don't think that they tasted bad. Paul was like, it's okay. And it's like, that's like, it's almost worse than being bad, I think.
Yeah, I think he said, well, it doesn't wow me or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, slap in the face. Armin's looked really good. Moroccan tagine.
Yes, with lamb. She sounded amazing.
She was so confident this week. Like, Armin and Linda both were like, oh, pastry week, this is my week. Didn't turn out to be true for Linda, but for Ermine, I think she totally had a handle on it. I think she was in line for a star baker.
I think she was. I think she was like second in line. Yeah.
Yeah. So they all looked pretty good though to me.
I would have definitely tried them. I would, even the fish ones. I'm not usually that big on fish, yeah. But it, like you, if it's done one. Well, yeah, both Marks had fish and I'll try it. I mean, like I say, if it's done well, I'm certainly down for it. And you know, I felt bad for some of the bakers too when they were commenting that they were a little dry. It's like, you have to be so careful because you're going to end up with a soggy bottom if you have too yeah. much, you know, yeah. if you have too much moisture.
And none of them did.
Yeah, exactly. None of them did. They were all good bakes and they were all well balanced.
Some were too dry.
Yeah, just some were too dry. But if you're not careful, you can easily go with too much moisture and then got a soggy bottom.
Yeah, so I'd rather...
it's a nice balance.
Personally, I'd rather have a soggy bottom than eat something that's too dry. I mean, the food would be soggy, not me personally. But yeah. You know, like if I had a fork and to sit there and eat it with, I'd rather, especially with these things. I mean, I just, you know, you can have a stew that's freaking just all wet. So if you have a pasty that's a little too soggy, it probably tastes really good. It would not be the most prettiest thing, but it'd be fine. But if you had a dry one, then you'd be sitting there going like that.
Yeah, unless you had a good sauce like Dave had.
Yeah.
I guess
and I don't think any of them were like, oh God, this is way too dry. It was all just like, oh, it's a bit dry.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like terrible, but they just wanted that nice. You just have to hit the mark on all of them. It can't just taste good. It has to look good. You have to, you know, follow the instructions like they were talking about, you know, having yeah. to have the, how it has to the be, crimps. You know, tucked and crimps. Yeah. And then they were like, you know, well, traditional Cornish ones have about 20 and, yeah. you know, having to be so, well, so when perfect he goes, or whatever.
Who was it? I think it was Mark. He's like, how many crimps are you going to put in it? Paul and Mark's like, I don't know, as many as I can. And he goes, is there a specific number? And Paul's like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
He's like, I'm not going to tell you now.
I wasn't sure if he was like messing with him, but him and also one of the other Marks later said, it's about 20 or 21.
Yeah.
And, but you know what though? I mean, Mark, Paul said he was like 7 or 8 shy, but I don't think Paul really cared about that. He was just, I do think it was a bit of him just giving him a hard time because he didn't like grade him down on it, I don't think.
Yeah.
He was like, what
yeah.
really matters is, and then he talked about some other stuff.
Yep. Some really good pasties.
Yeah.
I'm interested in, like I said, if I'm feeling inspired, I have to keep, for these harder dishes, I feel like I just have to be inspired because other times I'm just too lazy to put in that much work. For all of that, but they look really sure. good.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere around here to buy anything like that either. So I can't just like, well, I'll just go buy one and try it.
Well, would you, you can buy pastry dough, right? That's already made. Would you do that?
Yes, but I feel better when I just make it myself.
Yeah. So have you ever made pastry before?
Yes.
It looks hard. Oh, really? Okay.
I have. Yeah.
It looks tough.
I have been adventurous, believe it or not. Like I said, cool. I have ventured into the, you know, baking world and I have made choux pastry.
Nice.
I've made.
That brings us into the next.
Yeah. So I made cream puffs. I've made homemade cream puffs before.
Nice.
That's cool. They were absolutely amazing. And they were actually... I mean, I thought they were kind of easy. I was kind of shocked. I thought it was going to be really hard. And the first time I made them, they came out absolutely amazing. And they looked exactly like the picture. They tasted amazing. They had like, I mean, I didn't have anybody judging it. But I mean, when I was reading it, like what they should be like, that seemed to fill the bill. So I was pretty proud of those. And I've made them a couple of times. I haven't made them in a little while. But I'd make them at home and they're pretty awesome.
I love those cream puffs, but I think the choux pastry is easier to make than the puff or rough puff pastry. I don't know how
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Jay, for...
Because you said it seemed too easy, but like the puff or rough puff, they always seem to, especially the puff pastry, because you have that slab of butter and you have to fold it over without breaking the pastry, I think. So anyway, I would love it if you would try that and find out how it was. If it was
your choux pastry wasn't difficult enough, Raymond. Go make a harder one.
Well, that's you're the one saying you're going to make a pasty. So I think that would be cool to try it out and see if it's, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the same, or maybe you're just really good at making pastry and you would find it easy.
No, I think the choux pastry, I think, is probably one of the easier ones. So, but, you know, I was, for never having
just don't
made
want
a pastry.
Me to point that out.
Yeah, I just, if you could just like,
okay, got it.
Let me have a moment and indulge in my good pastry. No, it's fine. You're probably right. I'm certainly not a connoisseur of pastries like Paul or Prue and could sit here and tell you which one's the hardest. For me, it was a challenging just because I'd never done it before. I'd never made my own pastry. If I was going to make a homemade pie, I would never typically make my own dough. I would like buy the refrigerated dough or something and then make the rest of the pie homemade or whatever. I love doing that, but pastry always kind of scared me because it is delicate. I'm not great at delicate work. Like I'm a messy baker. I'm clumsy, but I'll try something. I have to make something, right? I've been trying to make something almost every week. That's inspired. I did something for chocolate week last week. So
what'd you make?
I made a brownie.
Oh, did you talk about that last time?
I think
did
I
you
said,
mention it?
I don't think
you mentioned it.
I didn't mention it. I just said I was going to make something.
Nice.
That I did. Yeah. I put it on our stories on our Facebook page and our Instagram page. I posted pictures on there. It was a homemade brownie with a cookie dough bottom. So it had like the base layer. It was cookie dough and then
Sounds
a layer.
Good.
It was really good. And then a layer of Oreos and then homemade brownie on top of that and then baked.
Today I had a Slim Jim dipped in ranch dressing with a little hot sauce mixed in there.
I'll ship you some brownies ASAP.
It's not keto. I can't.
I won't tell if you won't.
Nah, it's day 22. I can't give up now. All right, let's get on to the technical.
Okay, so they had to make these raspberry and salted caramel eclairs, which...
another one, like I saw the pasties and I was like, oh my God, I love these. And then the eclairs, I'm like, are you kidding me?
I know, I love eclairs. They're so good.
Mm-hmm. With coffee, so good. Like a cup of coffee and an eclair.
I'll take just the eclair, but yeah. So this one didn't go well for a lot of them.
I know. They look sad, like all tight, small or collapsed or flat.
Yeah. Even the ones that looked good, like Peter is the one that he won the technical, his first technical that he won, which is surprising because he usually bangs out some pretty good dishes in the other ones, but he doesn't always do very well.
I can totally identify with that because if it's different when you have a lot of prep, you know, like especially maybe for a young guy, maybe, I don't know, maybe not, this is just speculation, but he doesn't have many years on him. So he maybe doesn't have as much experience and, has like messed a bunch of things up and figured out how to fix it. Yeah. Or just, but if he gets a recipe, he can figure it out and then make it to perfection, you know? So, with the technical, I think you're better off if you have a lot of experience under your belt and you know how to, like you said, improvise or adapt or stuff like that. But he won. So that's cool.
He did. But even his were not really perfect, you know, so everyone kind of struggled a little bit. And I don't know, I was trying to figure out exactly what it was where everyone was falling apart. I mean, Linda's was obvious. She lost the technical and, you know, she made her shoe like three times.
Yeah,
I was like,
oh my gosh, something's going wrong there.
Yeah.
I don't know why she flubbed. Yeah. And she was the queen of the technical before, which sort of fits in my theory because she's older
and
has a lot more experience. But yeah, she was really struggling and you could see that confidence just seep away that she had last week.
I know. And that's sad.
And Paul's like, that's terrible.
I know. That had to be so crushing to hear. And she was, and like you mentioned earlier, she was so darn confident. Her and Hermine both were so confident going in, like, you know, I can do pastry, you know, all of us moms can do pastry. And then to see her, you know, lose.
And you could see, like, when everybody was mixing up their choux pastry. And you could see some were just kind of almost frosting-like, and it looked like that's probably right. And hers, I think it was really runny, right? She mm-hmm. couldn't get it to like adhere together. And it was like, you did something wrong there.
Right. Well, yeah. And they weren't rising. You know, she's putting them in the oven and they were just like flat and they looked a little oily and they were just a mess.
And she didn't have time to put the creme pat in there.
Yeah. So they were dipping, had to just dip them.
And yeah. So the choux pastry, you guys who don't know a lot about this, you probably know the taste. It's kind of light, you know, if you've ever had an eclair or cream puff, that's what it is. And I read it's a delicate pastry dough. Instead of a raising agent, it uses high moisture content to create steam during cooking to puff the pastry. And these are filled with creme patisserie or creme pat, which is basically custard, which is what Laura says. Creme patisserie is just a posh word for custard. Mm-hmm. But it's like a thicker custard, really.
Which almost no one's had a very thick custard. They were all kind of, it didn't look
you
good.
You wanted to be pretty thick. Yeah. I mean, I think Peter's looked pretty good. Prue said she liked it. It was just a little too fat, but she liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple, but so many of them turned out pretty runny and just kind of fell apart and it didn't. Didn't look
Mark
good.
Like couldn't even get the creme pat in half of his. They were just empty.
Yeah, didn't look good. So yeah, it was a shame to see them fall apart. I mean, I'm not saying it was easy, but I think a lot of it again has to do with the time. You know, they're not given a lot of time, and you know, all you need is one thing to go wrong, and it's totally just sets you back for the whole thing.
And you know, we've been talking about how some of the dishes that they've been given have been easy, but let's see how these bakers can do with an easier one.
Uh-huh.
You see who can make the best. But this. Paul said, this is a hard one to Prue, you know, and Prue's like, hey, we're halfway through. These bakers are good. But well, a couple of them did okay. But yeah, the whole segment felt really tense to me. It felt really rushed and with Linda messing up and they had that stressful Bake Off music going. Dun, dun, dun. I can't sing it, but it's just faster, faster, faster.
Yes.
And, you know, the camera switching really quick between everybody and half of them are even saying, I'm so stressed. Like, I'm like, I can't take this anymore.
I know. Then, I was tense.
And then when it's over, they play the nice music and it's like, nice breather.
It's like, oh, well, it is what it is, regardless of what we're putting up here on the plate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunate technical. I mean, not that I wouldn't eat them for sure, because some of them, even though if the creme pat was a little too runny, it still had a really great flavor. But just unfortunate that so many fell apart.
I don't think there was one that I would just like be like, I'm not going to touch that. I'd even dip one of Linda's in her creme pat and see how it tasted.
Yeah, it's like a mozzarella stick, man. Dip it in the sauce. I'm all for that. Yeah, I love those fun dipping like desserts. I think that would be fun. Yeah. I don't know. Taking Prue and Paul's harsh judgment sometimes. You know, I mean, I know that they mean well, but man, you know, when Paul's like, it's okay, but I'm just not wowed by it. And I'm thinking, wait, man, what would it take to wow these two? I mean, think of all the like places they've been, the places they've traveled, the wonderful foods they've tried and been exposed to, you know, what in the world, you know, you're trying to impress these two. And even Prue was like, I'm expecting to have the best, you know, pastry here.
The best pasties I've ever tasted.
That's
well,
no pressure.
Yeah. But okay. So he said that with Dave's pasty and he said it was too dry. There was too much rice. There was the chicken, the loss of flavor in the chicken. And he said, it's all right, but it doesn't wow me. I'd say that's fair. And I think Paul often is amazed, you know, he's like, oh, that's really good. Like here, I thought Laura really deserved a handshake for the
I think she did.
Reaction that Paul gave her on the Showstopper, which I know we're getting to now. I was like, give her the handshake. You just said some amazing things. But anyways, there's been times where Paul's been like, oh my gosh, I've never had anything like that. So I know, I hear what you're saying, that it would take a lot to impress these guys because they've had probably pastries from the best chefs in Europe or something, but still they do find a lot to like. And I think
they do.
Overall, they try to be fair, you know,
seems
like it. Like if something is doesn't have much flavor and it's dry, it's fair for him to say, eh, it's all right. It doesn't wow me.
Totally. I just can't imagine. I think more my point was that the stress of putting yourself in their shoes and like, oh my gosh, how do I impress these guys knowing what they've been exposed to and the amazing foods that they've had to try and opportunities to try. And I have to try to impress them, you know, me, amateur baker.
And then you're
baker,
on freaking
you know?
TV on the most popular show in your country and you just like poured your heart out into this thing all day and you're waiting for this one moment and they're like, meh.
It's okay. And you're like, oh.
Okay. Thanks.
Pack my bags and go home now and hang my head in shame. it's brutal because even when they're I mean they're not, I didn't mean to like say that they were like super harsh, just when they're just kind of like
they can be
but it's just and deflating.
It is, but I like Paul just the way he is, you know. If he was trying to save everybody's feelings, then it wouldn't be as exciting.
Oh, totally. I'm a big old Paul Hollywood fan for sure. So, well, let's talk about the showstopper. So, yeah. I mean, holy cow. I don't know that I fully understand the purpose of the caged tart other than it's just supposed to be something difficult.
I thought it was a setup because they wanted to see some massive failure.
Yes, I agree.
And I love when Laura, or who was it, Ermine, she's like, she said something about it's a tart, it's supposed to be pretty, and then you're putting a cage over it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, because tarts are, I mean, typically, very traditionally, they're very beautiful. There's very ornate design, you know, and some of them did have some very beautiful designs on top of them. And so, yeah, you're covering it up with this cage. Although some of those cages turned out very beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they
very
were gorgeous.
Beautiful.
So, I mean,
it was sort of ironic that Ermine was the one complaining about how the cage covered up the tart, and hers was like the most bulkiest, thickest one that you couldn't even see what was underneath.
Yeah.
Like Prue said, that's a big Paul Hollywood cage and a little feminine tart underneath. But tart. So I was confused when I went to the UK and they were talking about tarts, and then they bring out these little pies that look like, to me, uncovered pies. And I don't know if I just missed out in my life or if it's just not common for tarts in the US. To me, in the US, tart just means sour. Something's tart, or sweet tarts are like these little candies that are sour and sweet. Mm-hmm. But elsewhere, it's a baked dish with a pastry, you know, crust and a filling over it, but open on top, but it has sides. That's why Lottie got dinged. I think they're usually sweet, but they can also be savory. But do you know about those? I mean, have you experienced those things here in the US and they're called tarts?
Yes. Not the bigger type tarts that they were making here for the showstopper, but like the little tarts like you were talking about, they look like little miniature pies. To me, those are, you know, the tarts that I'm used to. And I've made lemon tarts before.
I don't know. Maybe they're either less common or else I just, you know, how that sometimes you get to be an adult and you realize there's this one thing that everybody else knows and you don't. And you're like, I miss that.
All the time.
Maybe it's one of those things.
All the time. I think I experienced that once a day. I mean, I knew that like what they were making were tarts. I don't think they're as common here. I think it's a French thing.
They're all
I think
over the place in Europe.
Yeah. I think that would be something you would see more in like a French patisserie or something. You
but
know,
I'm all for tarts there.
Holy cow. Yeah.
They're good.
Oh my gosh, there were some amazing tarts and some of the cages, even though I didn't, again, I think the purpose was just to throw a level of difficulty. I mean, I think tarts are fairly difficult on their own, you know, to get right, but let's because it's a showstopper, let's up the ante a little bit and throw a cage on top of it to make it difficult. And clearly some did struggle with that. Did you have a favorite tart that you would want to try?
Actually, Linda's, you know,
yeah,
her cage, which looked like it would have been amazing if it had worked out, mm-hmm. those red and yellow like dome stripe thing, but it just crumbled and she just laid a couple on there just so they could get the idea. But when they dug into the tart, it's a chocolate piping and a coffee and brandy sponge, and it was called a gypsy tart, which I thought it was cute when Noel's like, I had that at school and I haven't seen it since. Give me a hug. But anyway, it looked really good and they liked the flavor too. They just didn't like the look of it. So
yeah,
it's sort of ironic that she's the one that had to go home. But if I had to choose one of these to taste, I would have picked hers.
Yeah, I could see that.
What about you?
Oh, my favorite, I think, would have been...
Key lime.
Key lime is... Yeah, yeah. Key lime was definitely the one that was Laura's. And
yeah,
when she said key lime, I perked up. I was like, oh, because that's... We don't get that a lot here. Like, key, you know, every time I try to ask someone I know that can bake or something, I'm like, oh, let's make a key lime pie. And they're like, oh, no, that's too hard. Everybody complains making like a key lime pie is too hard. And I'm kind of intimidated and I won't make it myself. So I love key lime. So absolutely 100%. And I think hers was just beautiful. I think she definitely deserved. I mean, there were some other great ones too, but I think hers definitely deserved to win just for the flavor. I mean, I didn't get to taste it, obviously, but just from the looks of it,
well,
the flavor sounded amazing.
It was his favorite dish, key lime. He's like, that's my favorite. And then when he tasted it, he said, that's how a lime should taste. Give you a nice kick.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Looks good. Excellent. Beautiful. That's where I'm like, give her the handshake. Because, and especially, I mean, she said, I don't think I've been as proud of anything in my entire life as I am of that. And then when they came over to judge her, she's usually kind of smiley and cheerful, but she just looked like she'd just heard some bad news or seen a ghost or something. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because she was anxious. She wanted them to like it as much as she did, maybe, you know, because she put so much into it.
She was. But and
was
she
fantastic.
She talked a lot because she's like, I really want to prove to them that I can do something, you know, delicate.
Elegant. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, exquisite. And I love that she, because, you know, it's what we've talked about on the show, is like, you can't just be a one trick pony. You have to show a range. And if you can't show that range and, you know, show off your skill set a little bit, you're not going to last very long. I mean, you might hang on for a couple of weeks, but
she pulled it out.
She she pushed herself and she challenged herself and she totally pulled it off. And I just, she was one of my favorites in the beginning. So I'm really proud of her. And it was really heartwarming to see her, you know, accomplish her goal. So I love
Absolutely.
That. It's glad to see her stay in another week. I mean, I'm always sad for anybody that has to go, but I'm really happy for her.
So yeah, key lime for me, like, citrusy ones aren't not my favorites, but and key lime pie, like lemon is the only thing where I'm like, the ones that had lemon in them, I'm like, yeah, I'll taste it, but I really don't really like lemon that much. It's okay. But lime, so lime isn't quite like that. Lime is like, if it's a good key lime pie, like a really good one, I'm like, oh yeah, that's really good. This looked like one of those, you know. I mean, it won't be as good as chocolate to me, but it'll be good. And so that, I was excited about this one. Like, I totally would have been wanting to try that. Please, can I have a piece? So yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's good. Good to know that you don't you don't hate all citrus.
No, I don't hate it. I don't even, I mean, lemon, like a lemon tart, you know, every once in a while just to mix it up is good. But like, what was the one where they were, Paul was saying this is a happy tart?
It was
because
Dave's.
You kind of have to smile. Yeah.
It was blackberry and lemon. And that one, I mean, behind Laura's, I was drooling over that one. It was very well built. His cage was really cool and very well constructed, and it was beautiful, and his tart was beautiful. It was a little, they talked about the top of it a little bit. It wasn't bad, but I guess not as perfect as what they wanted, but they said the taste was really great.
That wasn't Dave's, was it?
Was it not with the,
no,
the design on top?
Dave had the chocolate pyramid and the mango and lime, the mango that was layered and it looked really bright yellow and beautiful. Remember? His tart looked like super cool, super beautiful.
Who had the, was it Peter's? Oh, sorry. It was Peter who had the happy tart. I was looking at my wrong notes.
Okay.
It was Peter.
Yeah. And I mean, if you add blackberry in there, it's going to only improve it for me. That I love blackberry. So yeah, that looks good to me too. But that was the one. Yeah, he's like, you kind of have to smile.
Yeah, because it's so tart and your pulls your muscle cheek muscles back.
Right.
Yep, that's my bad. I was looking at the wrong notes.
And his cage looked good, but it did look a bit bready, as Paul said to me.
Yeah.
But it was good. It looked cool though.
It did. It did.
So yeah, what about now, Dave? Do you remember Dave's now? It had that really bright yellow design on the tart.
Yes.
That was kind of folded, layered over like a flat, big flower or something.
Yes. And
that
it looked like really he had cool. some drizzled on top of it too, which added like a nice little like layer to it.
Shiny or glazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing about that whole segment, this was actually Laura. She was beating her butter. And Dave's like, I just love when you beat the butter. Are you thinking it's Paul? And I'm like, duh, that's kind of dark, dude. That's a little rude. And then Paul shows up right there and Dave's like, oh, did he hear that? So
oops.
I thought that knocked down Dave a half a notch for me when he said that. I'm like, that's going a little far.
Yeah. Not nice, Dave.
Yeah, that's nice.
This is nice.
They get
show.
Used to joking about Paul, but
they do. They do. Like when Noel was talking about having shape of Paul's buns. That's funny. He takes all that in stride too. You can tell sometimes just kind of like whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And he just.
But, I really feel like he's lightened up a lot as the show has gone along.
He has tremendously. If you go back and watch some of the earlier seasons, he's definitely
seems to take it more seriously.
Yeah, he's lightened up quite a lot.
Which
since
I
the
love.
Earlier days.
I think that's great.
Yeah, I like seeing the little bit of humor. And how he can kind of take a joke, but he still kept his intensity, which I love, which you definitely got in the Showstopper when poor Mark, it just didn't look good. And when he presented it and put it on the table in front of Paul and Prue, like it just stopped and looked, the camera was right on Paul's face. He didn't even have to say a word because his face said it all. It was like, this is a right mess.
You're talking about Mark L. with the bottle message in a bottle. Yeah. Yeah. That was unfortunate because I actually think that design was really unique. The bottle with the circular, the holes in it looked cool if it would have worked. And it had a lot of pear and sage, which sounded really interesting to me because I love pears. I don't eat pears.
Me too.
And they were mentioning how the tart didn't look good. The pear, Paul's like, the piping's irregular. The poached pears don't look appetizing. And I wondered if part of that was because Mark chose to work with what he had and stick the broken cage on top of it. And it just messed up the tart, you know, the look of the tart. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about the technical side of that.
Well, if you lay something on top of it, it might.
Well, you know, but just, I mean, as far as like, you know, yeah, I mean, it might have. If it didn't sit up, it might have ruined the rest of it, I guess.
Yeah, it was right on top of it. But Prue said it was delicious, and she said unusual, but I like it. So it wasn't a total disaster.
Yeah, it was a shame. Shame to see so many of them kind of falling apart a little bit.
Well, yeah, mostly it was just her. Well, yeah, it was Mark's and Linda's fell apart as they were baking it. Ermine, during the preview, they said they were talking, you know, they show a little bit of clips of the episode ahead of time. And you hear Matt in his voiceover saying, but the wrong kind of baking can see the best of plans come crashing down, and you see Ermine's cage come crashing apart. And you didn't know whose cage it was, but I was like, oh, there's a disaster. And then when I saw her making it, I'm like, hers is going to fall apart. And then it never did until Paul picked it up. And then I thought, oh, they made that seem worse than it was, because I don't really think I don't even know if they expected the cages to hold them together when they were lifted like that. And it really didn't seem to be a point against her that it broke when Paul you know, it made it to him intact, and then you're just going to eat it anyway. So exactly. I think it was actually fine.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, they gotta make it a little dramatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They do a good job absolutely. With the editing and, you said, the music and making it super right. tense for sure. So.
Yeah, I wasn't critical, but I do feel like that was a bit of misdirection there. But hers had lemon meringue, which I'm like,
It was lemon and lime tart, and they liked it. They said it did well, and they said the flavors were spot on.
And she had these beautiful lemon curd macarons on there, which sometimes the whole challenge is to make them, and she just added it as a little piece of flair on hers. It
kills me that some of these guys are so talented, and they're like, I think I'll just make some macaroons and add them for some little decor. And it's like a side thing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't even like make those right. things by themselves.
Spend a whole day trying to make those.
Yeah. And I think I'll just whip some up.
And Prue's like, it's a big, hefty Paul Hollywood cage with a delicate, tiny feminine middle. And Paul says, it's a Prue Leith tart with a Paul Hollywood base.
That was funny. Oh, I like the humor.
Whose did we not talk about? Is that all of them? I think it might be Lottie, her apple, just apple everything. That looked pretty good.
I would love to try that. They were just critical because it was open, didn't have like the closed crust, but it looked, and her cage was that's right. beautiful. Yeah. It was so intricately designed. It almost looked kind of lacy. It was beautiful.
I didn't like how it looked as much as Paul and Prue, and now you did. I mean, it looked okay, but why? I wasn't why as impressed. Like, I don't know. It just looked... I liked the geometry of it, but it was just not pretty. It just looked like a big tan pyramid. I don't know. But anyway, I understand. I mean, not everyone has the same taste. It was good. I mean, it was cool, but it wasn't... I didn't think it looked as good as you guys seem to, but I like the caramelized apple and the boozy apple slices and the toffee popcorn, whatever creme diplomat or whatever that was. It all seemed like it would be really fun to just bite into.
Heck yeah. I don't care how messy it is when you stick your fork in it.
That's what
I'm like,
said.
I mean, I get it. It's a show and they're being judged and they're asking for specific things. And you know, so I get it, but holy crap, it suited me just fine. Yeah.
And then Mark E had his apple and blackberry pie, which I thought sounded really good, and his domed cage with the green and red flowers looked really good.
Yep.
So, yep, all good.
Do you have any predictions?
Well, wait, I want to Let's see. I mean, I've said Linda twice, and now that I didn't say her, she leaves. And I'm like, whose idea was it to do predictions? This is totally dumb.
Yours.
It was mine. So I it's so close. I mean, I really do feel like Peter is a standout. And who else would you say is a standout to possibly win? Anybody in particular?
I think Laura is really upping her game.
Laura.
You know, she's shown that she can
evolve.
She's
capable. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she has talent. She's able to evolve. She listens to the judges. Hermine could.
But as far as who's going to leave, it's so hard because aside from Peter, I feel like they're all fairly even. So... I'm going to say, and this is just kind of a stab in the dark because I'm obviously really bad at this. I've got none right so far, but maybe this Japanese week might throw people who seem to be more into the traditional kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to say Laura. Also, the preview showed her crying. So that could be a big misdirection. Yeah, it just showed next week. I think, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything because they like to do
it
misdirection,
could be a happy
as we mentioned. No, she didn't look happy. But I don't know. I'm bad at this, but I'm just going to take a stab in the dark and say Laura next week.
Well, that's fair. I think it's hard to pick someone because it's like they go week by week. Like, I mean, typically when they get down to the finals, they kind of look at you overall, like how have you done overall through all the weeks? Yeah. And they kind of take that into account. But we're almost still kind of going week by week.
You can get Starbreaker 1 week and then totally you're no crash good at chocolate. The next. And yeah. Then, yeah.
So it's like kind Sarah. Of like you just have a really, yeah, like Sarah was fantastic. And then she just had like a really bad string of luck that week and she got kicked off. So, I mean, it was fair because she did do poorly, but it was just sad because you knew how talented she was. So it really just, I think, depends on the challenge week by week. And is that person strong? Like, you know, Hermine and Linda both said that they were strong with pastry and Linda kind of crashed and burned a little bit. She had the bad week, but yeah. Hermine did pretty well.
That's why I kind of suspect maybe if someone isn't comfortable with Japanese, which is a new thing,
yeah.
Like I would think Laura, she tends to use a lot of traditional flavors, so this might throw her off. But I also think maybe young people can adapt a little better, so maybe mm-hmm. Marky might be the one because he seems to be the oldest one that's left. That's ageist, I know, but I'm closer to his age than any of these other people. But I don't know. I'm going to stick with Laura for now. What about you?
That's a pretty good pick. And if I have to sit here and pick someone, which again, I don't have a very good record either. I'll go with, and it's a shame because I really like him. I think Irish Mark might go.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah,
he stumbled a bit this week.
Yeah, he had a weak week.
I like how he says pear. He says purr.
I just like how he talks, period.
Yeah.
I really love it.
Funny lines.
Yes.
Let's see. I loved when Noel, during the intro, said, "Last time, the bakers faced chocolate week and collectively ballsed up the basics."
Yeah, they screwed that one up. Let's move on. Yep.
The whole pleat thing that we already talked about. Noel says, "I like to imagine that when Paul has a bath, he has a bath of egg wash.
Egg wash.
That's how he gets the nice bronze look."
I love that line.
Did you have any?
The egg wash was my favorite. Yeah. When that's how he gets a nice bronze look. And I'm all I can picture in my head is like Paul Hollywood bathing himself in an egg wash and sticking himself in an oven so he gets that nice golden brown look like the pasties or pasties. Sorry.
So like when Matt said to Laura, "Who in this room would you put in a cage?" "Oh, I think like a really little mini Peter would be quite cute." He goes, "Yeah. Hey, Peter. Laura wants to put you in a cage." Then he goes, "What would you do with him if he was in a cage?" "Feed him cheese." That was funny. And then the last one I had is when Matt and Noel decided to play tennis with like those cutting boards and Noel broke his in half and then ran off.
Eek.
I'm out of here. So
I really got to learn how to get a side gig is like Matt Lucas or Noel. And like, how can I be on there? I was like, I don't want to judge it because I'm not qualified to judge them. But
the taster.
You get to taste all that stuff.
Yeah. You want to be the taster to make sure there's none of them is poison or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
I think I read, I forgot what I read exactly, but there was an article about the crew. Like they all get to eat it, but they have to, there's some kind of process. So everybody gets a turn or something like that. I forget.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they have to. They have all this food. So, yes, they have to divvy it out somehow, I guess.
So, but to show how close it was, now Laura won, Starbreaker. She had that cheese and onion pasties using a Paul Hollywood recipe for her signature. Prue said they were heaven. She goes, "Oh, those are heaven." But in technical, she had sixth place out of eight.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't do well, but the showstopper, she killed it with her beautiful cage and her key lime tart. Linda, she in the signature had those ones that look like samosas. The flavors were good, but they weren't crimped. She got last in the technical, so that's probably what killed her. And then her cage fell apart in the showstopper, but it was good flavor. So I guess maybe you could say we're at the point where generally the bakers are good enough that they don't just completely flub it like last week Sarah did. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess you could probably find something that one of them would flub, but I don't think anybody just made something that was just a total disaster this time.
No, and that's why, I mean, we're at the halfway point. This is episode 5, and they go 10 episodes, so it's going to just get harder and harder, and they're going to get more and more critical, where one little mistake can get you, you know, taken off the show.
I was looking at their ages. Dave, can you guess ages?
Dave, I'm going to guess, is 31.
30. Ah. Very good. Ermine?
Ermine?
Maybe you don't want to guess women's ages. I don't know.
I don't like people.
She's 39.
Oh, okay. Well, I know she's a single mom. I thought she would have been a little younger, like 35 or something, but.
Laura's 31.
Sounds right.
There was this friend of mine one time, and I said, he asked me to guess his age, and I said 40, and he was like 38, and he got all butt hurt. I'm like, don't ask me the guess then.
Because 40 is that milestone that no one likes.
Yes. I mean, I thought he was older, to be honest. I thought I was guessing younger. I thought I was being nice. Linda is 61.
Okay.
Lottie, guess, what about Lottie? What'd you think?
27.
31.
Oh, okay. She'd be happy. Yeah, yeah.
That.
I think it's her attitude that, to me, makes her seem a little bit more youthful, I guess.
Younger.
Yeah.
Mark E. is the older Mark.
He's got the two young girls. I'm going to guess 45.
51.
Oh.
And okay. Mark L.
33.
He's 32. You almost got that right on. Peter.
20, right?
Yep, that's right. Did you know that?
I thought I heard him mention that he was 20, because he said that he's been like the baking show's been on for like half his life.
Right, that's right. And then those are all the ones that were on this week. Larea is 27, Mac is 51, Rowan was 55, and Sura was 31. I don't know.
Rowan,
I just thought
was 55. Goodness, I thought he was older.
So the ages span from 20 to 61, which I think is
that's what
really
I love.
Cool.
Everyone is, you know, there's, like you've mentioned before, a wide variety of ages. You've got the real young guys up into, like, you know, some of them could be grandparents, and they're all from different cultural backgrounds. And
it's weird. There's no one in their 40s. There's 20s, 30s, 50s, and 60s. I need to go on there.
Yeah.
Fill the gap.
You should. Totally should.
I need to get my citizenship and learn how to bake.
And learn how to bake. That would be important. Okay. Anything else you want to say about the show? Okay. Mm-mm. Well, why don't we do a little listener feedback? We got a little bit of feedback this week.
Cool.
The first one that we have is from Tony Douglas. She says, I'm happy for Laura. She did very well during Pastry Week. Linda should be very proud of herself, but she had a very bad weekend. As far as the bakes, pasties, or what I know them as, empanadas, delicious, one of my favorite foods. Oh, that's interesting. Is that what a pasty is? Is the same as like an empanada? Interesting. She goes on, the technical was tough for everyone. The showstopper tarts with a pastry cage, didn't know what to expect. But when you see Lara's and Peter's finished product, it is an impressive presentation. I think Mark does an amazing job showing something personal in his bakes, meaning you can tell he has daughters. All his bakes have beautiful color and flowers. Yeah, it's true. Back to the cages. Tarts are so pretty, why cover them up? I guess because it's difficult. Too, because again, that's kind of what I thought too, is why would you cover them up? But yeah, I guess it's difficult, and I guess can make a presentation. I guess if you're looking at a patisserie window, you know, and you're passing by and you see this beautiful tart and this beautifully constructed cage made of pastry, then it's going to draw your eye and be appealing.
Yeah.
And you want to buy it.
Or I would think if you're at a dinner or, you know, an occasion or something, it'd be kind of fun to like unveil it or something.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. She goes on, two people's cages fell apart and her means fell apart at the judge's table. Lara's becoming a favorite of mine. Honestly, all the weakest bakers are gone now, so it could be any one of these bakers at the end and I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I just see here on the pasty Wikipedia page, it says differences with empanadas. Unlike empanadas, the filling ingredients for pasties are not cooked before they're wrapped in the pastry casing. Additionally, while empanadas are a light, flaky, leavened pastry containing several layers of dough, pasties use a firm and thin layer of dough. So who knows if that's right, but that's what it says on there. Not interesting. Cooked before they put it in.
Okay. Okay. So kind of similar, but not the same.
Yeah. I mean, didn't we see them cooking the stuff? I think
yes,
that
they cooked.
Thing I just read was bullshit.
Yeah, they did cook all of their ingredients. They were full, because they were talking about, because some of them were worried that they weren't going to finish on time, like they weren't going to be fully cooked. And they was like, well,
right.
At least the stuff on the inside is at least fully cooked. So nobody's going to bite into any raw meat or anything. So
yeah, and that was another thing, and Prue mentioned it, that was interesting about the pasties, is they not only had to be good bakers, but they had to be good cooks for that
exactly.
part, because of the filling.
Exactly.
Derek O'Neill says, I'll definitely confirm the heart attack desserts that come from the U.S. are so shocking that they make headlines over here sometimes. Yeah, like if you go to the Santa Cruz Boardwalk, you can get a fried Twinkie, deep fried Twinkie.
Here. Uh-huh.
That's, I mean, I can understand why somebody might balk at that. I would probably eat one of those every 5 years or so. he goes on, but most people would try them. Maybe, my thing is cut off there. What does that last sentence say?
But most people would try them maybe once in their lives, not every week with dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have, well, we're big fans of festival food around here, you know, or fair food, deep fried Oreos, you know,
right.
Deep fried everything, funnel cakes. That whole
right.
thing. So, yep.
I mean, but I'm just like, I love the balance of flavors in all of these and mm-hmm. and how, I mean, I think it's great, but I also think there should be room for just a brownie with a big dollop of vanilla ice cream on top, and you don't have to put, you know, something in there to make it less sweet. That's my own personal thing.
Well, like I said,
I appreciate all of it.
I told you about my brownies, and I promise you they would not have passed Prue's, you know, balance out the sweetness. Mine was just full on sweet. It nice. She probably would have keeled over from sugar shock. So I went for it. Lee Sullivan says, there's a GBBO after show called An Extra Slice. It's super funny, and they show the practice area the bakers use in episode 2. So she provided a link for that. So
sweet.
Yeah, I'll send that.
I've seen that, An Extra Slice, but I didn't know that's what it was. I mean, I've seen the like title or whatever.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that in case other folks were interested, because I mean, I know I am. And so thank you, Lee, for pointing that out, because I think we were talking about, you know, where do they practice? Do they practice in the tent? Are they practicing there at the hotel that they're at? Because they're not at home, at least. For, you know, nope. for this one, so they can't.
I'm not sure
at home.
If we can access that. Hopefully, we can.
Oh, is it in the UK?
Yeah, sometimes they won't let us see it.
That's right. I forgot
it. Shot.
Well, darn it. Well, Lee will just have to write in and give us some commentary.
Yeah, that'd be cool. For Chocolate Week last week, Diane Ryan says, "I'm halfway through listening, but had to pause to double check what Paul says about the chocolate babka." I assume you mean the bit where Prue says she had it in New York and then Paul said that he had it in Birkenhead, which is in the Wirral, W-I-R-R-A-L, Merseyside, where Paul Hollywood is from. And I guess maybe not quite as exotic as New York. So that's what he meant. It was kind of like a backwoods place or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I remember we were kind of questioning that. Like, what did he mean?
Yeah, what was so funny about that?
Yeah, why was that like funny? But that gives us our explanation. So. Thank you, Diane, for writing in and letting us know. All right. Great feedback, guys. We also have a phone message from our good friend, Steve.
Hey, Rima and Jason, it's Steve. I can't believe I almost forgot to send in a voicemail for Pastry Week. Poor Linda. Right, Linda? Yeah, she was the one. but, you know, some of them are coming by the skin of their teeth. You know, Lottie had a great showstopper. I've only watched like a bunch of collections of these, and I can't remember things. But you know, I really liked the signature. Lottie had a really good one. I think that I probably would have liked. It had the sausage and stuff. And I'm blanking on the person who had the one with the boiled egg and how that turned out. I kind of want to go back and watch it again just to see to see that.
Had the fish too.
You know, that final bake with putting the cage over the tart was a really good challenge for them. And they're not doing as weird things as they did, because one of my favorite moments in the shows is when they go to the technical challenge and it's something that like half the bakers are like, I don't even know what that is. I've never made this before. And then you'll get like one will be like, I made this one time when I was 20 or whatever. Then or another one will be like, I've seen these. So, but anyway, can't wait to hear the podcast today. You guys are a breath of fresh air during this time. Thanks. Aww. Talk to you later.
Aw.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, maybe they'll do one of those that no one's ever even heard of at some point.
Yeah. I love that we totally sent Steve down a Great British Bake Off rabbit hole, because he'd never even watched the show before. And when we decided to cover it, he's not only watching this season, he's going back and watching all the other collections. That's awesome. Too.
Steve, what are you going to bake? We got to hear about your baking.
Yeah, I would love to hear about anyone's bakes. If you guys want to do challenges with me and you know, bake something and send us pictures, or just send us the feedback and tell us what you made and how it turned out, we'd love to hear about it. Awesome. Yeah, thank you everyone for the feedback. Appreciate it. So next week we'll be covering collection 8, episode 6, Japanese Week, which you mentioned earlier, Jason. I think that sounds exciting.
It does. And I have no idea what to expect. Like,
I don't either.
Like Japanese food, but I don't know if
what's baking really that in Japanese.
I don't even know what they're going to make. So I'm really curious.
Yeah, I am too. I'm so uncultured. I've done so little traveling and this would be interesting.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of people not making things that they've never made before. I think. I could be wrong. Maybe Japanese baking is really popular in the UK. Who knows?
Who knows? You'd be surprised sometimes. Sometimes I think, this is going to be a hard one. And then like two or three of them like really nail it. And it's like, well, okay. You know, but yeah, I mean,
it's not as hard as a brownie.
Yeah. Give us the Japanese week over brownie week or chocolate week any day. So I know. And still, we're going to be talking about that for a long time, how the brownie took out the whole cast.
It's one of the infamous moments in the show, I think.
Yeah. Remember chocolate week in collection 8? Oh my gosh.
It's just too
killed
sweet.
Everyone.
The British can't handle it.
That's funny. Well, we are excited for you to follow us to the tent. But until then, you can follow us on Twitter at StrangeTCast.
You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/StrangerTCast.
And you can email us at StrangerThingsCastPod@gmail.com. And you can also find us on the TV Time app.
And you can find Strange Indeed and a bunch of other great podcasts at podcastica.com. Go out and leave a review for Strange Indeed on Apple Podcasts.
What other great podcasts are on Podcastica, Jason?
You know, we're on Walking Dead Cast, we're sort of struggling with Walking Dead World Beyond and Fear the Walking Dead. This week I had a great time because I thought Fear, it wasn't awful, but there were some really awful things about it. And I just let loose on it. And it was really fun. But then I polled the listeners, like, do you want to hear me talk about this show if I'm going to be hate watching it, or would you rather I ask another Podcastica host who might be more measured to take it on? And almost everyone said, and I included Lucy in that, if we're going to be hate watching, almost everyone said they'd rather us just keep going and, you know, that we're, I mean, we did talk about some things we liked too. So anyway, they were like, they would rather just hear us be honest about it. So that was kind of nice. So it was fun, but, it was kind of a lot to
listeners
to cover both shows. So we're going to try to kind of split it up and have Lucy do most of the prep for World Beyond, and I'll do, Fear. And I've seen World Beyond this week, and I thought it was actually a pretty good one. So I'm excited for okay. this week's episode.
Well, that's good. That's good mm-hmm. to hear. Yeah, that's a lot of work. If you are going to try and cover it kind of evenly, that's still having to almost cover two shows in one podcast. That's a lot of prep. So
yeah,
we do a lot just for one show. So I can't imagine trying to do two in one.
Yeah, trying to figure out how, especially if you're not in love with the shows. Like, yeah. I don't want to. But it was pretty, I think we're zoning in on how we can do it.
Good.
And keep it fun and not have it be too much.
that's fun. I like the idea of you guys doing that and sticking with it. And it's something that's, you know, giving a little twist to the usual. So something a little different, but yet still enjoyable. So good for you guys. Hopefully you can find that nice balance.
They said that the inspiration for this week's Fear the Walking Dead was Die Hard with zombies. So that sets it up as pretty high expectations there, but
It does.
I'm just more curious than anything. So that'll be interesting.
Yippee-ki-yay.
All right. That's our show. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
And I'm Jason.
On your marks.
Get set.
Bake!